So we've got some baptisms, and I've just wanted to just say a little bit about baptism, but also this amazing life which God has brought to us, of which baptism is a part of it. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. Before I move on, such an important point. Paul's saying there, you know, many of us, we used to think of Jesus from a natural perspective. So we think of him from a human point of view. We thought, saw Jesus as a great human, as a great teacher or a builder from Nazareth. History tells us he lived and he was executed. He was the founder of a new religion. All of those are facts that nobody would really dispute. But Paul goes on to say, but now we know him differently. Now we know he was so much more than that. He's actually the person we've been singing about, Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And we often sing he has no rival. There's nobody like him. And he's come to live in us. He's God himself. And I just think it's a really important point that Paul's making. Once, and lots of people in the world still think of Jesus in that natural sense. But when a light turns on, we begin to see, actually, he was so much more than that. And so at one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Hallelujah. And so verse 18, he goes on, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And one more verse from Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Jesus Christ in baptism, we haven't got that one yet, have we? We joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. I want to connect the gospel story, truth, with baptism this morning. And the first thing I want to just mention is this incredible phrase that Paul makes, for Christ's love compels us. Christ's love in Paul and his team compelled him, constrained him, one of the other versions says, to make him known. And here we see the heart of Paul being expressed. Since we believe he died for all, he says, we've received this amazing love of the Father. We need to make him known to all too. You see, he didn't just die for me. He didn't just die for my family. He died for the whole world. And it's not a duty to tell that should be compelling us. I ought to be telling people about this amazing gospel. It's not even a vision to fulfill that should be compelling us, though that's good and important. At the end of the day, it's about God's love in our hearts, compelling us to make him known and to share this amazing news. Would you say amen to that? So all who come to him, he will save. To all who believe, he gives eternal life. Now, in a little while, we're going to hear from some of those people being baptized. We'll see how God's love has touched their lives and changed their lives. Some have been saved for a little while longer than others. But each of them have a story to tell. But I want to ask a question. How do you know if you've been touched by the love of God? You know, this love that was compelling Paul to live such a dangerous life, to live such a life of risk, sometimes without, sometimes with plenty, sometimes hungry, sometimes having enough to eat, sometimes with shipwrecked, sometimes left for dead. What was it that was compelling Paul to keep on with the message of Jesus? What was it that touched his life in such a way? You see, he wants to come to touch our lives too. And he wants us to live with that real heart and desire to tell others, no longer embarrassed or ashamed about what others may think or say, because he's given everything for me and I want to give everything for him. If you don't have that desire, I want to ask, why don't you pray that God will put that love, that compelling in your heart too? He's looking for a people who are going to push back fear, which we were singing about, push through shyness, a people who love him so much that they'll feel compelled to tell others too. I was a very shy teenager. I was too shy to open my mouth in church, let alone outside of church. Then one day he touched me. I was immediately filled with love and a sense of his presence like I'd never known before. Yeah, it was a few years ago now, and I can still remember clearly that day. I'd been touched by God. I remember, you know, previous to that, worship in church, and I used to go to church, but I was a little bit bored, hands in pockets, just went along. It was just singing songs. But after that day, something in me, love in me, I think, the Spirit of God in me, was connecting with words and turning the songs into worship. Do you know you can come and just sing songs? Or you can use those songs to worship. And that's a difference. There's a big, big difference in that. And the love of God touched my heart. I longed to worship. Now, I remember at that time I was working at a bank, and I used to go every month or so to go and get some Bible notes. So I was a good Christian, but really hadn't experienced God like I did later on. And I would just wander off and make some excuse to my colleagues, you know. I was a bit embarrassed to tell them where I was going or why I was going. And I'd just come back with my little packet of notes or whatever it was. But then after God touched me, I remember actually saying to my mate Steve, my colleague Steve, "Steve, I'm just going to the Christian bookshop to get some Bible notes over lunchtime." He said, "Oh, I'll come with you as well." And he wandered around the shop, and we were looking at Bibles and all sorts of stuff. And it's a very small illustration, but before then, I was so embarrassed to even mention God or even mention church or Jesus. But something happened in my life, and I was really quite surprised that Steve was happy to come, actually, and look around the shop and see what I was going to buy. But there was something that happened, and God wants each one of us to be touched by him in such a way that we're no longer ashamed, but we're going to be proud to say that I'm a Christian. I'm proud of Jesus. I'm proud of what he's done for me. And his love in my heart is going to help me break through fear and shyness and all those other things, so that like Paul, I too can proclaim this incredible message of Jesus. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Hallelujah. So what is this message we're sharing? Just looked at my clock. I need to get a move on. What's this message we're sharing? Number one, it's about reconciliation. I've been reconciled to God. Before, and for everybody in the world who doesn't know Jesus, there's a great big gulf, there's a great big barrier. It's impossible to relate to God. I was dead. Sin had separated me. God was holy. I was just full of sin, stuck. No way to bridge that gap. But Jesus came. Jesus came and he died. He paid a sacrifice. He took my sin. I received his righteousness. So that barrier of sin was broken because he took that away. And now there's a pathway, there's a relationship which God, through Jesus, has brought me back into with him. Totally amazing. Totally amazing. That's the incredible gospel. We've been reconciled back to God. Do you remember when he died, that great 4-6-inch curtain in the temple? It was just completely ripped from top to bottom, illustrating that now that barrier's broken And you and me, as we come to Jesus, receive his righteousness, can be restored and reconciled to Father who loves us. I was speaking to a young person the other day. She'd attended Alpha, and she had questions, and that's okay. It's good to have questions. But I was asking her, how's your journey of faith going? How are you doing? And she replied, she thought I was saying, why aren't you here at church? She said, I'll come back to church one day. I said, oh, no, I'm not talking about church. I mean, church is good, and you know, reading the Bible's good, and everything's good like that. But I said to her, I'm talking about how's your relationship with God? How's that journey of relating to God going? Because that's what it's all about. I mean, you can come to church before, and you can come to church afterwards. But actually, it's that relationship with God that he's looking for. And that's what we need to work out in our heads, in our hearts, in our minds, and say, wow, if he's done that for me, I want to give my life for him. I want to commit to him. I realize who he is, and faith rises in our hearts. Number two, forgiveness. Totally amazing, totally forgiven. My drug addiction and my stealing, sorted and forgotten. My sexual immorality, totally forgiven. Sins I'm even ashamed to talk about, all washed by the blood of Jesus. My marriage breakdown, my adultery, my wrong choices, my anger, my greed. As we confess, he forgives. Isn't that good news? Isn't that amazing news? You'll hear in some of the testimonies, one or two just talking about their past. All gone, all sorted. Forgiveness has been received. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His grace is always greater than our sin. Nothing can be so bad that we cannot be forgiven. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. And not only the past, but the present and everything in the future is all washed and dealt with by the power of the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness and reconciliation, such a beautiful aspect of this gospel. And number three, he's made us totally new. The old is not just forgiven, it's forgotten. And the slate is wiped clean. So Paul tells us, if we belong to Christ, we've become a new person. The old life has gone, the new life has come. And that too is good news. Amazing news, made holy and righteous. Everything from the past can be dealt with because of the power of the blood of Jesus. And I mentioned some of the bad stuff, but they can, there's consequences. But now, no more condemnation. No more shame. No more hatred. I'm free from sexual immorality and temptation. I'm free. Addictions can be broken. They were all part of the old life. But he is making me new. In fact, he has made me new. And when the new comes, it's about being filled with him. It's not just about what we've got rid of, although we have to get rid of that stuff first to get hold of the new. But when the new comes, it's about love, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about his presence welling up in our lives. It's about him coming to live in our hearts. And everything changes. When he comes, everything changes. Cars might still break down. Washing machines might break. There might still be relationships which we have to work out, or financial or job situations. But I tell you, everything's different because he's living inside of me now. He's making all things new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it starts with faith and repentance. Peter tells us that's the normal package. And baptism is part of that package. In fact, I want to say faith, believing in God, repentance, baptism, being filled with the Holy Spirit and added to church, all the New Testament norm. What we're doing today would have just been normal practice in New Testament times. In fact, it wouldn't be normal unless there was all of that included. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us that faith and repentance and baptism and being filled with the Holy Spirit, they're all foundational. You can't build a Christian life and mature unless you deal with these things and receive these things in our life. And I want to say, added to church, it's essential for spiritual growth. All important. So just as I close these thoughts on baptism, repent and be baptized, Peter tells us. Paul tells us in that scripture which I read, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. What does that mean? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. Well, as I've said, the old is gone, the new has come. And when someone dies, what do with a body? You cremate it or you bury it. You don't drag it around with you. And Paul tells us we've died. That old life has gone. So let's bury it. And that's what baptism is about. It's a funeral service. Today we're having a joyful, celebratory funeral service. Baptism doesn't save us. Baptism doesn't cause us to die. But when we approach baptism in obedience and faith, it's so much more than symbolism. It's so much more than a ritual. It's so much more than public testimony even. It becomes a means of us separating the old from the new, the past from the future. Then the old truly has gone and the new has come. I've known Christians who haven't gone baptized, they've not realized the importance of it, and they've struggled with things in life. They've struggled to be all that God's called them to be. And somehow when faith, and it's not just getting wet, you see, when faith is mixed with obedience in the Word of God, they've been able to leave that side of their life behind and raise up in newness of life. They found some of those things have not had the hold which they once had on them. Hallelujah. So my ways, my priorities, my sin, I'm burying. And I'm being raised up in new life in Jesus Christ. This is a year of new beginnings. For those who are being baptized today, it's new beginnings for you too. And as Peter promised in that text from Acts, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey. So we pray for what I would say an even more powerful baptism, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Water baptism deals with the old. Spirit baptism is all about the new life, new power, being filled with his love. It's about a spiritual overflow. And it's that Holy Spirit living in us, not that Holy Spirit, it's about the precious, beautiful Holy Spirit living in us that causes us to experience and enjoy and transmit new life to all those around us. He is the life giver. He is the source of blessing and joy. So we're going to pray in a moment or two, but I want to pray, we'll be praying for them as the guys, as they come up out of the water, fresh impartation. I want to say, if you're getting baptized today, believe God for more. Whatever you've received so far, believe God for more. It's amazing what he's done, but there's so much more to come. Hallelujah. The old is gone, the new has come. So in closing, I've explained what the good news is, what the gospel is for those who believe. And today it was going to be 6, and it was going to be 7, but somebody's 6, so they're unable to be here, so we're back down to 6. They're going to be taking the step of baptism. But baptism has followed repentance. Baptism has followed believing. Baptism has followed them making that commitment to give their life to Jesus and live for him. Baptism is about a change of management. It's about, well, once I lived my old way, I did my things, I was in charge. Baptism is about no longer. Change of management. Jesus, you're in charge now. I'm going to live for you. I want to give my life to you. And as we read in that scripture at the very beginning, I'm no longer living for myself, but living for him. Could we stand together? And I'd like to just ask us to pray a prayer together. Because there may be some here today who have heard the Christian message for the first time. And you'll hear some of the testimonies in a moment or two, which is going to be great. But I just want to ask us all to pray a prayer of commitment to God, commitment to the Lord. So if you say this after me, please, I'd really appreciate that. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me, so that I could be forgiven and made right with God. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. I receive your forgiveness. I now turn from everything I know is wrong and commit to live my life for you. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. And I just want to ask while we're just...